On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock,
we are verified excited about the latest news from Microsoft, I think. Speaking of Microsoft, they're launching a new UET Insights with some beautiful new dashboards for your ad accounts.
Are you going to the mall later?
No, I am not going to the mall.
That's a question I was asking. If so, you might not want to miss the new Vision Pro goggles from Apple. And you especially don't want the new Apple privacy news to manifest without you.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Greg Finn.
I am Jessica Lee Budd.
I'm Nicole Waddington. And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on June 9th, 2023. I am so happy to be back with y'all and you, the listener. What's happening in your life here this week, Jess, before we get into the news?
Well,
Jess?
Me? You want to know what's happening in my life? Not much, but I had a very exciting commute home on Monday. I went out to our Rochester office to onboard some new interns, and I don't live in Rochester. I live in Buffalo, so I have to take the 90, which is like the main highway that crosses New York State, and I'm a fast lady. I was going like 85. I was going to get home in an hour. I know it's too fast. I didn't get pulled over. I have been pulled over going 87, and it was like a $400 ticket, so I don't do that anymore, but I was going 85. And I was having the best commute, listening to music, having a great time. All of a sudden, I'm in the left lane, which is the passing lane. All of a sudden, all of the traffic just slows down to like 50. Speed limit 65. We're all going 50 in both lanes. And I see that there's two trucks that look to be pacing each other, semi-trucks. I'm blaming them for miles. Like, this is ridiculous. Now it's going to take me even longer to get home. Forget about the time I just saved. It's awful. Miles, this is happening, and I'm mad at this one truck in the left lane that finally gets over to the right lane, and I think that all the problems are solved. No, something is still happening for more miles. I will say it was probably like 20 to 30 minutes. We're going 50, we're going 75, we're going 50, we're going 75. I realize there is a road rage situation happening.
Oh my God, it's so annoying.
People are pacing each other in the left and right lane. One of the cars was from Florida, but the Florida car might have been the initial aggressor based on what I saw, but they were the victim in the situation where a left lane driver whose vehicle I couldn't see because I was behind a truck threw a bag of garbage, a trash bag, a white, like, leave it at the road, trash bag of garbage at the car in the right lane. A cup came out, a water bottle came out, all this stuff just went flying at the road. They like threw it at the person, at the driver in the right lane, and it hit the car and exploded and all this trash, whatever. I've never seen such a thing. I don't know who the problem was. They were both the problem in the situation. I've never seen that, though. It blew my mind. It ruined my commute. It was awful, but it was almost like I was concerned because, A, why do you have a bag of trash in your car? Mm-hmm. B, you're throwing it at someone on the road. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
But I feel like someone – you hear incidents of like people being followed home and assaulted and things. I don't know. I've never seen such a thing.
I usually see them just like getting really close and like almost crashing.
Right.
But I've never seen
I was waiting for that. I was waiting for like a 10-car
like
pileup because we're all angry and nobody knows why. Yeah. A bag of trash.
Yeah. Never seen the trash.
No. I just want to know why they had it in their car.
Did any trash get you?
No. I was a couple cars behind, but I saw this happen and I like audibly went, oh! Because who does that?
Well, that's kind of fun.
We'll never know. No. I was pissed. I wanted to get home.
So I've been going on a lot of bike rides lately, and there's this one trail that runs right along the river. And it was such a nice day the other day. I decided to go on a bike ride, and I thought it was strange that nobody was out on the lawn. Nobody was walking or riding their bikes on this trail. And I've seen it like packed the last few days too. So I'm like, this is weird. Like, maybe it's just too hot for Buffalonians. Like, they're not used to 90 degree weather. And then all of a sudden, I get swarmed by sand flies. I did not know this was a problem.
I don't know what those are.
Those are the ones with the big tails, right?
I don't think they had tails. They just looked like giant, like, flies, moth
Okay.
Crossover.
So what do they do?
I don't know if they do anything. They were just sticking to me. Yeah. They were like sticking to the bike. They were sticking to my shoes and like my clothes. And I was being swarmed. And I was like so determined to get my miles in on this bike ride that I ended up going almost another mile through all of this. And I was like, okay, I need to give up. I need to turn around. So I had to ride all the way back through it. It was horrible.
You should have stopped halfway through and bike raged at those sandflies and thrown some garbage right in their face. That's funny.
That's gross. I don't like that. Were swarms of bugs?
Yeah. No.
Uh-uh. No.
So funny story. I was biking with my kids a few weeks ago, and we were biking down by the canal. And it's the one part you have to walk your bike down by the Erie Canal. You can't ride on the canal part. So we're riding on the road. And I have 8-year-olds, right? So like, how do you get an 8-year-old to wear a helmet? You wear a helmet. And I don't want to die, so I wear a helmet because I'm not a f***ing idiot.
You've seen some things. We talked about it years ago on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've seen things.
And so I'm riding the bike, and there's somebody coming down this little street, and it's like, hey, nice helmet. And I'm like, I almost road raged, but I'm like, you know, like, and they're in a convertible, which was super.
No. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Get a roof, bro.
I wanted to be
get
like,
a roof.
I wanted, if it were just me. It will be so fun. Just pop in that back seat. You know what I'm saying? Like, what'd you say? What'd you say?
You like this helmet?
Yeah. Oh, hey. But I had 8-year-olds. So I'm just like, I'm not going to
try to set a good
I'm
example.
Gonna be fine. Whatever. Let's head on into the plethora of news we have this week, starting with the Apple Global Summit here. WWDC 2023 was announced. One thing that I loved. There was not a single mention of AI the entire event.
That's so refreshing.
Zigging when zagging.
Machine learning. We're going to use this. Not I have AI to solve everything, which was awesome. There were some things that might impact you a little bit, so we'll get through those. But then we'll get to the kind of meat here for marketers. There's going to be a new slightly refreshed version of podcasts. There's a bolder now playing screen. You'll have more search filters. And a better next up experience. The biggest news that came out of here was their AR/VR Vision Pro device. Apple is dubbing this as a spatial computer, but I'm just calling them fancy ski goggles.
There was like a 3-minute YouTube ad that I sat through for this.
Really?
Last night. Yes.
Okay. What'd you think?
I was not even paying attention. I was playing Candy Crush on my phone. And then I realized that this commercial was still going. I don't know if it works the way they say it works. It looks fucking cool.
What level are you on Candy Crush?
I checked this morning. I'm on like 4,300 something.
I was close.
We have to go back and check. We have to fact check that.
The difference here between this and something like Oculus is this is very much AR plus VR, where if you want to get like a big screen in front of your face, you can do that, which would be like more traditionally VR-ish, even though it's a movie screen. You can also see through. There's all and have like tabs up or windows up in different locations. And you can see when somebody comes closer, it can like kind of like break through the AR, which is kind of cool. So you don't get just like, you know, stabbed in the chest or something.
That's
like
important
that.
For all those intruders.
I just think you still look like a dork with these on.
Oh, for sure.
Now you look at these people and you're sitting here like pinching the air and you're just making these weird gestures. Like, look, this guy's, you just have these ski goggles attached to your head. You have to sit down. There's a woman who looks like she's from the future here and she's like moving like things up and like making these weird, I just don't like it. It's like you got a shake weight in one hand and you're just like lounging in the other. So that was sort of the biggest, shiniest announcement. It is going on sale for $3,499, so it's probably going to price a lot of people out. But some of those things did look kind of cool, where you can have it kind of up like you have traditionally seen in the movies. Now, the big thing for marketers is that there are new privacy features, and it really might impact you moving forward. So there's a few things like private browsing, where it's going to make it so that there's no tracking at all if you're on a private browser. It'll lock it up if you're not using that window and help out across there. There's also additional photo privacy so that you have limited access to different apps and things like that. But the biggest thing is called link tracking protection. And according to Apple, they say it's common for links to have embedded identifiers to track who's visiting the site. For example, if you receive a promotional email and click on the link, it likely identifies you. Messages, Mail, and Safari private browsing mode will now automatically remove the tracking IDs. For example, if you receive this link and click on it, and let's say it's a link, you know, the parameter or question mark, click ID equals D7762, then your iPhone will automatically remove the click ID D7762. So if you have been tracking and using this way to identify folks, Apple is going to remove that. So you're going to need something new. There's probably workarounds too, right? Like you could probably just make like a landing page or something for each person and not make it a parameter. I'm sure there's ways you can figure it out, but you're not supposed to and you shouldn't do that. So I would imagine that a lot of the at least emails opened with an Apple product are going to be much less effective at figuring out who got the email and where the sales came from. So I think that's really the biggest thing. There's also, again, they call it this like privacy manifest feature, and there also is applying to some of the apps that use specific SDKs. And there was a great thread by Eric_Seufert, Eric_Seufert. If you care about privacy, he does a great job every time there's an announcement. And he said that yesterday, Apple announced its new privacy manifests feature, which takes direct aim at device fingerprinting on iOS. In case you know what device fingerprinting is, it's trying to figure out who somebody exactly is based off of some of their interactions on different websites, and an app can get access to that and figure out who's doing what where. That's a very dumbed down version, but whatever. So he says, privacy manifest will hold SDK publishers and app developers accountable for how user data is collected and utilized. And then he highlights a section from the privacy manifest documentation saying apps referencing APIs that could be potentially used for fingerprinting, a practice that is prohibited on the App Store, will now be required to select an allowed reason for usage of the API and declare that usage in their privacy manifest. So it seems like there's a lot of protection to consumers, which is great. Mm-hmm. That's what we want. It also seems like there's going to be some degradation in your tracking and analytics, at least coming from Apple products, which honestly, it's what we want in a way. Not as marketers, but like
as humans.
As humans, mm-hmm. right? So like that's going to be a big kind of a hard pill to swallow, but it's probably the right one if people are using that information the wrong way. So that's really the marketing takeaway of the WWDC 2023. What you got, Nicole?
So Microsoft Ads has announced that it will start collecting more website data through its universal event tracking tag to power UET Insights, a new dashboard for advertisers, which will launch on June 29th. So Danny Goodwin on Search Engine Land had a nice article summarizing all of this. Data will be available in near real time and won't be sampled on the new dashboard. So it will include stuff such as session counts, popular pages, device breakdown, country breakdown, quick backs, average active time, all the good stuff. And the preview kind of looks very similar to Microsoft Clarity. No surprise there because it's a Microsoft product. But heads up for advertisers, UET Insights will automatically be enabled on all existing UET tags and enabled by default on newly created tags. So if you have a UET tag already, you can complete an opt-out form by June 26th to disable this automatic upgrade. Otherwise, you'll be seeing it in your Microsoft Ads account at the end of June. And hopefully this will help advertisers better understand their user engagement and help improve some of their campaigns.
I just like the term quick backs. It sounds like
I do like that too.
Rugby yeah. position, you know, like, oh, you're on the sevens team. Like, what are you? Oh, I'm a quick back.
I don't know shit about rugby, but yeah, absolutely. Another announcement from Microsoft came out this week. It noted that as of August 1st of this year, all ads served through Microsoft advertising will come from verified advertisers. So the Advertiser Identity Verification, which of course has an acronym, AIV, was announced about a year ago now. And in case you're not familiar with the details, if you've been living under a rock, basically the ads will display the name and location of the advertiser, as well as info about why a user may be seeing the ad, such as targeting parameters. So you've likely gotten an email already to go through the verification process. I know a lot of our clients have, and we've been doing that and it's fine. But funnily enough, if you have not received an email, sucks to be you. I'm glad you're listening because according to this article, it is on you, man. It is not on Microsoft. They said to further drive platform safety, all new advertisers after July 1st of 2023 will be required to be verified prior to serving ads. That's all fine. Established advertisers will continue to be opted in over the coming months and will be required to complete their verification prior to August 1st to avoid interruption to their ads. Here's where it gets sticky. Advertisers will be notified via email when it's time to complete their verification. For some, we already have, I'm paraphrasing now, for some, we already have what we need and it'll be fine. We'll do it automatically. Here's an exact quote. Advertisers who don't receive a verification-related email communication and whose accounts are not automatically verified prior to July 15th are recommended to contact support. No one's reading these articles, guys.
No.
Hey, Microsoft. Like, no one is reading these. And there's no pop-up in the platform saying this, at least that I've seen. Send an email. Or don't. Don't put it on the advertiser. That's awful. You might just show up one day in the platform and see that your impressions have dropped off to zero, and this could be why. So I'm glad you're listening, folks. And if you're not, tell your friends, or if they're not.
Anytime there's an announcement, they are their literal name. The announcements are micro and soft. Their announcement should be macro and hard.
Yes, I agree. There's also something that wasn't in the title of the article, never mind the brand name. This was hidden in there, but it's interesting. They're launching a new ad library where all users will be able to view ads that have been shown on Bing if there have been impressions in the EU or the European Union. So users can then search for ads using the advertiser's name or words in the creative, which is kind of wild, but it's also great because maybe you don't catch the name, but you saw an ad and you're offended by it and you want to search it. Go ahead. You will then be able to see the advertiser details associated with that ad. So that was a little nugget, again, in this article that nobody is reading. But the key takeaway is if you haven't received an email from Microsoft Ads about verifying yourself and you are running Microsoft Ads, apparently you need to contact support. And there is a link for that in this article, which we will have in the show notes. So please check it out. Now it's time for this week's take of the week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's take of the week comes from the one, the only, Anthony Hegman, at Anthony Hegman on Twitter. Your source for legal PPC, anything to do with lawyers and paid search. Anthony's the man. And he says, to Google, these are the same. To my clients, these are complete opposites. And he shows matching of a phrase match term that's a close variant. The keyword that he put in was injury lawyer. What Google matched it to is a close variant. Again, not broad match. This is the phrase injury lawyer. Matched it to car property damage lawyer.
Some days you're the pedestrian, some days you're the car.
It seems like the car is injured in this, or the house is injured. Mm-hmm. This is not the same. These are not the same things. Car property damage lawyer matched to injury lawyer.
No.
This is why you have to use, and he had the negative in there too, and it just overwrote it, and he's trying to get a refund. He is great at what he does, but just make sure you are using negatives and you are working through the atrocious support to try to get money back when you see stuff like this.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI. ICYMI, people, this is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
ICYMI this week is from Sarah Steeman at Runner Kick. She tweets, I never noticed this, hashtag PPC chat, but of course, the CTR doesn't matter on search partner sites. And she includes a screenshot of a Google Ads Help article that says, the click-through rate CTR for ads on search partner sites does not impact your quality score on Google.
I've been doing this for a long time, Jess.
Have you?
I have. Can I tell you?
Please.
No idea this existed. I'm a truthful fella. I will never lie. I didn't know that your search partners don't matter for anything.
Like, I mean, they don't results-wise. So why should?
Part, yeah. If you're using brand, you might want search partners. There's reasons for search partners. You should test it in a way. that you can use segmentation in Google Ads and you can see how it works. You let the data work for you and see it for brand. I keep search partners on many times, but I had no clue that search partners just doesn't matter.
Like, I feel like that's right though.
It
that's
is.
That's how it should
sense.
Be.
It is.
That's okay with me, but it would be good to know that. Yeah.
But I am this many years old that I learned that.
How many is that?
41.
Reverse that is 14.
I don't want that. Thanks, Sarah.
Now it's time for this week's
pew pew
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
This week in the paid universe, Anthony Higman at Anthony Higman, ever heard of him? Tweeted, update to healthcare and medicines policy. I've been seeing a ton of ads for ketamine recently. I wonder if this update is related to that. I think that someone needs to regulate telemedicine ads like fast. Things are going to get out of control quickly. And he includes a screenshot of the Google article, which explains that in June 2023, Google Ads healthcare and medicines policy will update and advertisers will be able to use prescription animal drug terms where the drugs and listed ingredients are intended for animal use and are not prone to human abuse or misuse.
Oh, so this was a Bruno 19 thing, probably. Because they just allowed for the usage of N95 masks to be back in Google Ads. Again, look at this was May. They allowed that. 2023. Do you know when we needed the N95 masks?
3 years ago?
Or maybe now. Yeah.
I mean, now we got wildfires everywhere, but
smoke everywhere.
It's still, I don't sleep at night thinking about these things. Like, you're an ad platform trying to help people, allegedly. Let people advertise the products they have to keep you safe. Or don't until May 2023. Incredible. Incredible. So I'd imagine this has something to do with Bruno 19. Don't say the actual term or you're banned from YouTube. All right. First up here in organic, Splitsies official. MailChimp and Shopify break up, according to TechCrunch.
Does National Enquirer know?
I think TechCrunch got the scoop, but maybe they'll have it behind a article about Batboy, my favorite National Enquirer person in the world. Anyway, MailChimp announced that the MailChimp app, which lets users use the Shopify data to create targeted email campaigns, is no longer in the Shopify marketplace. It's a little bit of a they said type scenario where Shopify said it's critical for our merchants to have accurate, complete insight into the business and customers, and this isn't possible when MailChimp locks in their data. And then MailChimp's like, hey, yesterday we asked Shopify to remove MailChimp for Shopify. We've made this decision because Shopify released updated terms that would negatively impact our business and put our users at risk. So then MailChimp doubled down essentially and said, anything that hurts our customers' privacy is a non-starter for us, and said that Shopify was asking for information about users, including data it collected in the past before the app was even installed. And so somebody at MailChimp said, we had no way of getting that consent from our users retroactively. It also actually seems like it's just like political, right? Mm-hmm. Because there was an issue where MailChimp partnered with Square to launch shoppable landing pages in the past. Who's a competitor to Shopify? So it seems like there's just bad blood all around here. And if you are dead on with Shopify, you might want to find a Klaviyo or something like that if you do use MailChimp right now. From Barry Schwartz at Rusty Brick on Twitter, he says, amazing how fast the Google SGE results are changing from a week ago to 2 days ago today. Google is tweaking constantly. I saw this tweet and went on there. I didn't see any differences. I was like, what can I do if I go to Baltimore? Because that's where my son's favorite baseball team is. And it's like the same junk. I can't figure out how to get to an article. Like you have to like, it's this SGE experience as is going to be a catastrophe. I would love to use it for a query like that and be able to be like, here are the top 10 things. Let me go check this one out. This is interesting. I haven't seen any changes. So I'm glad Barry has. I'm happy that he's happy. From the YouTube side of things, there was a question to the product lead for the YouTube homepage and recommendations, Todd B on Twitter, at Hitsman. And somebody said, hey, YouTube liaison Hitsman, what does YouTube use as metrics to qualify satisfaction? Todd said, likes, dislikes, survey responses. Raw survey data is too sparse to be useful for creators, but useful, blah, blah, blah. Somebody responded and said, so the notion that likes are meaningless is wrong? It has meaningful impact on performance. To which Todd B said, yes, and the same for dislikes. They are a negative signal for satisfaction, not a positive signal for engagement, as many have wrongly claimed. So if you have a YouTube channel and you're trying to do more, you do not want dislikes. Even though you can't see them, you still don't want dislikes. You want likes. You want to try to get people to like your video. If you're watching on YouTube, please like this video. And so Todd said that comment about dislikes. And so then somebody named Hoopsick responded and said, if dislikes are a negative signal, how does YouTube combat dislike attacks from negatively affecting videos? Someone could send their followers to dislike a competitor's video to destroy it in the algorithm. I've talked about this a lot.
I mean, clearly.
They got rid of the dislike.
Doesn't listen to us.
Google got rid of the dislike. Google is all AI, using machine learning, generative AI to figure things out. The one thing they've never been able to figure out is dislike attacks. And they got rid of the dislike button for this. And they've never figured it out. And this Todd B has been responding to everything except Hoopsick. He didn't respond about the dislike attacks. So just a little bit of where there's smoke, there's fire. I still can't believe they had to get rid of the entire dislike button for those dislike attacks. And it doesn't seem like they haven't figured it out yet. And I'm never going to stop on the dislike attacks. That was the stupidest answer I've ever heard in my entire life.
I feel like that's the only reason it was in the news, was so you could just 100%. Be like, hey, yeah.
It was the dumbest answer. They're like, oh, we can't figure out dislike button. You're talking about us AI. You could barely keep Google Ads up. Mm. You could barely keep the platform up. You're talking about how we got to trust your AI for everything. And you can't figure out dislikes attacks. And you still can't because you didn't respond to Hoopsick at Hoopsick_ on Twitter. From the Bing side of things, there was a report on Reddit that Bing Chat was working on other browsers, not just Edge, like Safari. And somebody had pinged one of the product managers over at Microsoft, and they said, yes, we're experimenting. We'll be rolling out gradually, so look for Bing Chat coming near you. If you're a Buffer user, you can now start to schedule shorts there. So pretty cool if you're into the shorts game. Or not. I don't care.
It is summer.
I'm with you. Yeah. Or, you know, no word on the Capris yet. From this is sort of, again, like a cool tool that, you know, you don't even need to go to school to use. But it's Google Workspace. And if you are a Google Workspace member, you can now sign up. It's labs.google.com. You have to be on your pro account. I do not believe SGE can be used in a workspace, but this is AI that is only Workspace. And what you can do is you can say, help me to visualize something, and you can make a graphic right within something like Google Slides here. And you can say, I want a giraffe riding in front of the Eiffel Tower with a beautiful watercolor, and it'll make a giraph, and you could pop it right into your presentation. Good
All
luck.
The business applications for that.
Yeah. All right, from Bard. There are more relevant responses with location information. Bard can now start providing more relevant responses if you choose to let it use your device's precise location. So if you want more location-based Bard data, feel free to sign up for that. From Charles Farina, look at me. He says, the AdSense connector for Google Analytics 4 is in the works. So if you're looking for the AdSense reporting, it looks like it is in process right now. And from Bree E. Anderson at Bree_E_Anderson on Twitter, she says, Audience Builder is getting stronger and has a new update from GA4 that says, we've added 5 new dimensions to the Google Analytics 4 Audience Builder. Country, a manual term or UTM term, mobile device info, minute, new versus returning. And there's also a new metric, session duration. So starting to actually make things. Google Analytics 4 is unusable. Mm. It's a piece of shit.
They're doing this just in time for the holidays. They're like less than a month out from the Switch.
It's so. Garbage. Mm-hmm. I was trying to be positive earlier. I'm redacting everything I've said, and I'm disavowing everything nice I said about GA4. From Glenn Gabe at Glenn Gabe on Twitter, he says, on the AI content front, CNET is overhauling its AI policy and updating the past story. The policy promises that no stories will be entirely produced by AI tool, and hands-on reviews and testing of products will be done by humans. I can't think. So let me back up. CNET was doing AI-generated content. No humans. I can't think of a worse implementation of AI than for product reviews. For a computer that doesn't have f-ing hands. Bro, you're a computer. I don't care, Bard, if you know what my location is. You can't review this product. You don't have a face. You don't have a face to tell me how the glasses look on me. I don't care what you have to say. I don't care. And then Glenn Gabe went on to say, what could go wrong? WordPress has a new AI tool that will write blog posts for you. Automatic launches Jetpack AI Assistant for WordPress and Jetpack-powered sites, letting users generate content, translate text into 12 languages, and more. All right, and from Goldman Sachs, they say the creator economy could approach $500 billion by 2027. Cool. All right. This is actually something that's fairly interesting if you care about it, but a lot of folks do put advertising money behind this. Twitch is doing everything in the world that they humanly can to alienate all their streamers. I'm telling you.
Sounds like a good move.
They made this new policy where you can only have an ad or a logo in 3% of your screen. You can't have baked-in ads, which is like just a graphic that goes up on screen. Mm-hmm. You can't have ads in the background. It's absolutely ridiculous when these people are putting their content up, trying to make money, trying to make a living, and you're being able to actually like run the intrusive ads that go in the middle of their streams. So they show all these examples up on screen where there's no burned-in video ads. There's no burned-in audio ads. You can't have burned-in display ads. They're basically taking all the things that, for everything I've heard, Twitch is hard to monetize with their own tools. So you have to kind of come into it like we do with Marketing mm-hmm. and Clock, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have a sponsor this week. Shout out if you want to sponsor us. But we make money to buy the equipment here from sponsors. And if we were to just run ads on YouTube, it wouldn't be that lucrative. But when we say, hey, you can get out in front of an audience that is very digital savvy and runs Google Ads and needs SEO tools and things like that, that's how we can actually make money. We'll never make money on like the YouTube ads that could run on the site. So this is essentially taking away all the ways that creators can make money. And everybody was pissed about this. I thought it was funny that Mr. Beast, who is arguably the biggest creator on YouTube, and I hate his videos, by the way. His last video was actually good.
What was it?
It was like people from 1 to 100, how long can you stay in a room? But he said people are saying that the creators should be pissed, and he said they should be. People are struggling to just get by, had their income cut for literally no reason. I love how as Twitch gets more competition, they just double down on doing dumb things. To which then somebody said, hey, I wonder if there's our own streaming website. And then at one point, I think that Elon was like, hey, maybe we can come up and try to combat that. I'm not sure if it was him or not, but I think that was the case where like that could be an alternative. You know, I think that's one thing that's been, politics aside, everything aside, the ability to like let people create stuff has been an option there. And if they actually go into streaming more, that could be a good solution. Right now there's like Rox or something like that, that some Twitch people are thinking about leaving or going to, or YouTube. That'd be huge for YouTube if more people left. And then there was also very strange verbiage in some of the new terms of service. It said Twitch has the rights to monetize all services without limitation. You may not insert and embed pre-recorded advertising units into live stream, and that you basically had to get approved ahead of time. And then there was other crazy stuff, like if they kicked you off, you had to pay $25 too. To which then Twitch came back and is like, hey, sorry, the branded content policy was overly broad. This created confusion and frustration. We apologize. We don't intend to limit streamers' ability to enter in direct relationships, blah, 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 blah. They definitely intended to.
Yeah, they're just backpedaling now.
If you look at the images, it's like you can't do anything. You just have to use Twitch's, and I think it's 70-30 still, but it also seems like that's going away. So anyway, Twitch right now might be on the way out for many streamers. A bunch of people have proclaimed that they are no longer be using Twitch because of it. So that's it in organic. What's happening in Social Bug?
Oh, not so much, but we will kick things off with some news from the New York Times. Twitter's U.S. ad sales have plunged 59% year over year. And this is despite the fact that Elon Musk recently said that Twitter's advertising business was on the upswing, noting that almost all advertisers have come back. I mean, personally, I had advertised on Twitter, not personally, but for my clients, I had advertised on Twitter years ago. I still ain't back. So you're wrong. Anyway, the Times noted that Twitter's ad sales staff is concerned that advertisers may be spooked by a rise in hate speech and pornography on the social network, as well as more ads featuring online gambling and marijuana products. So people are just feeling different ways about things, I guess. Internal reports also indicate that ad sales will keep declining. And this is all in the U.S. that we're talking about, which only makes up about half of Twitter's global ad revenue.
This is the stupidest sentence in the world that the New York Times said.
Which is that? Which sentence?
Twitter has always been full of porn. There's no new uptick in porn. If anything, there's less porn on Twitter. That's like a fact.
I should use Twitter more. I didn't know there was porn on Twitter.
Tons of it. Online gambling, for a long time, there was nothing but online gambling.
I will say.
I see less online gambling than ever.
Well, don't blame the Times, because if I remember correctly from the article, they spoke to 7 people who are current and former ad sales folks. But this is an exact quote. So from those 7 people, that is the gist. Anyway, another Twitter news from Yaroslav at 512x512. I don't know if that's a screen resolution or what, but it's not big enough for me. Twitter is working on the ability to hide your likes in your profile.
Bro, you need 10,000 by 10,000 with that vision over there.
Are you calling me bro?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't see. Anyway, if you want to hide the tweets that you have liked, apparently that is in the works. So you know what? You shouldn't be ashamed. You do you. But I guess if you're a public figure, maybe that's helpful.
No, I like it. I think when they changed it to a heart from a star, it used to be a star. And you could just bookmark things. It should be bookmarks. It shouldn't be I like things. If you find something that's interesting to you, but it's like a story of somebody that has a problem with ads, I don't want to like that. I don't want to heart that.
I know. That's like a totally different gesture, really, to like something. Yeah.
I love the fact that you can hide that if you want to. I think that's a huge benefit. And then you can just start going through and not being like, oh, this is like something I'm cultivating. No, just save it for yourself. I'm all for it.
Yeah, maybe people will be freer with their liking. And yeah, I don't know. Twitter Blue tweeted that Blue subscribers now have up to 1 hour to edit their tweets. And I think there was a comment where somebody noticed that it had originally said 30 minutes and that they changed it to an hour. So that's cute, I guess. I cannot believe people are paying that close of attention, but they are. From everybody's favorite at Titter Daily, a number of political shows and podcasts have announced their intention to upload on Twitter alongside or even in place of YouTube. This new move by YouTube may be intended to stem the bleeding. And then they cite their source, which is an article from Axios. So if you're wondering what the move is, according to the article, in a reversal of its election integrity policy, YouTube will leave up content that says fraud, errors, or glitches occurred in the 2020 presidential election and other U.S. elections. So if you're in politics, read the whole thing. But the TLDR is the policy change will go into effect this Friday. If you're listening, it is Friday or later. So that's already happened. And it does not impact YouTube's other misinformation rules. It's just this one. And the platform did say that it will provide more details to come about its approach to the 2024 election. So we'll see. But if you're talking about the past, I guess you can say whatever you want now, or at least almost.
I wish somebody would be honest.
Regarding
any of this stuff.
I know.
It's just so, like in reversal of our policy, we're not going to leave it up if somebody talks about the presidential election.
And it doesn't sound like they're
so we took everything else down. They took banned it all down.
So now if you say something now, you're the voice of authority because all that historical content that happened in the moment in 2020 is gone.
All you really want is ad dollars. That's actually it. All you want is network money. You want money going to you, not to Meta, not to Twitter, not anywhere else. You want to seem like you are fine. Just dump the money to YouTube. As soon as they get the money, they're going to change it right back because they don't give a shit about you. And that's what's going to happen. And I just hate the thinly veiled bullshit about all of it. Just say, I want more money. Hey, I want other people to advertise with us. I want whatever, the left, the right, who gives a shit, to give me the money. And to do that, I'm going to make this little change. Don't be like, oh, it's because of our integrity policy. No, you have no integrity. You just take everything down.
And quit wearing shorts. Pants. You want integrity? Cover your ankles. Okay. Instagram, let's just move on to another platform, has updated their original post about how ranking works across the platform. The key takeaway here is that each part of the platform uses its own algorithm. So we're talking about feed, it's different than stories, different than explore, and so on. It is worth the read if you are a social media marketer. You can actually see details about how each of those works. So that's cool. They also address, and I put that in quotes, shadow banning, or essentially when an account and its content appears to be hidden or limited without a clear explanation as to why. They being Instagram, point to their account status feature where you can delete content that is negatively impacting your account or appeal their decisions. They do claim also that more transparency tools are coming, so we'll get you the scoop on those if they hit the news. On the user side, they did share details as well about how you can impact your own Instagram experience. So if you're interested in that, go for it if you're not vibing with the content you're being served. Interestingly though, Greg, there is nothing about how to get on or off your distribution lists. So I guess your content is what it is and it's being served. And I don't know what the algorithm is in your brain, but
once you're in, you're in.
Yeah. Someday I'm going to go back and read all 90,000 of those messages that you've sent. And I can't wait. Sticking with Instagram here, the platform might be working on an AI chatbot because everybody else is doing it. So zig where people are zigging. The evidence comes from Alessandro Paluzzi. He tweeted that Instagram is working on bringing AI agents, bots, to your chats for a more fun and engaging experience with a screenshot, essentially, of what it would look like. So it seems like it's happening, but we don't have a ton of details. And finally here in social, TikTok is expanding its series feature, opening up the ability to paywall content essentially to tons more creators. Starting this week in select regions, if you are 18 plus, have an account that's at least a month old, have posted more than 3 public videos in the last month, and have at least 1,000 authentic video views in that time period, plus at least 10,000 followers, you are eligible. And if you don't meet that last follower count criteria, you could potentially rejoice. You can still apply. You basically just have to provide a link to premium content that you've previously sold elsewhere. So if you're trying to make money, monetize things on TikTok behind a paywall, opportunities are coming. Now it's time for this week's WTH.
Misguided.
I hated all of that.
I'm like, who does that?
Just get rid of it.
Where we rant, rave, and roll our eyes about a trending digital marketing topic.
What are we coming to?
Honestly, see what had us asking.
WTH.
This week.
This week's WTH comes from the one and only Susan Winograd at Susan E. Dub on Twitter. She says, when agencies throw a fit, they were fired and delete all account history. Stay mature, folks. And as a screenshot of all these changes, 96 call only ads removed, 107 phrase match keywords removed, 31 exact match keywords removed, 138 destination URL changes. That breaks my heart that somebody paid this company to help them get better. And not only are you not giving them the data, which again should be life in jail.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
But not only that, you're taking all these things and removing them so they can never come back. This is why agencies get a bad rap. This is why you need to vet a good agency. You need to have an agency that spends your money like our own money. And it just makes me sick and I hate it. And it's why it's hard to get businesses, agencies, because there's so many rat agencies out there doing this stuff.
And that brings us to our real life segment, straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise.
And this week in Working Hard or Hardly Working, Jess, what's hardly working or working hard for you?
I will say, Kathleen, aka K-Briggs, Hagelberger is always working really hard. She's our resident SEO expert alongside Greg, and it's her birthday. You know her from the show, and I just want to give her a shout out. I have no idea how old she is because I'm not allowed to ask, but happy birthday, K-Bergs. You are always working hard, and I appreciate it so much. Greg?
For me, something working hard, and it's kind of funny, is the new Adobe Photoshop Generative Fill.
Oh.
And all the AI out there, this one's actually really cool where you could take a product and be like, hey, give me a background of like a lunchroom, or give me a background of a park setting with flowers and a bike path and a river. And it can take your information and actually turn it into something helpful with like those prompts you need. We're doing a bunch of examples, and it's still very much beta version, but you can really see how amazing it could be.
It's so promising.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen it yet, we did a whole demo this week internally. I was like, hey, make Jess a witch. And they're like, oh, she's already a witch.
Picture me. Yeah.
But it's really cool. Check it out if you haven't seen the new Photoshop.
And working hard for me this week is Google Ads Target CPA. I think Greg talked about it maybe last week or the week before about how max conversions really isn't working anymore for him. And he just sets a very generous Target CPA and lets it go and do its thing. And I was brave this week. We were launching a brand new account, no historical data, very worried about starting with Target CPA, but it actually worked. And ads are serving, we're spending, we're getting data in. All good stuff.
And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool. Okay, and this week's Cool Tool is a budget pacing calculator from the one, the only, the friend of the show, Akvila, and girl, Ophelia. That was my rhyme for the week. Calculating and optimizing spends can be an absolute nightmare, and it is great to have a tool to help.
A tool? Like Bob Vila.
He's a tool?
But this one is from Akvila.
Akvila. I feel like that's what she says. Akvila, Bob Vila, tequila. Yeah. Tequila working hard for me this week. Anyway,
so what does Akvila have?
So from her Akvila DeFazio account on Twitter, I'm going to let her speak for herself. She says, excited to announce the release of our new advertising budget pacing calculator. Following years of internal use to help our clients optimize their ad spend, there is now a public-facing version available. Advertisers and brands can benefit from the insightful tool, ensuring that campaigns pace and stay on budget while saving time and improving spend management. I concur. This thing is simple. It's beautiful. You plug in your monthly budget, what you spent so far and what you spent yesterday, and it does the math for you. And I love math when I don't have to be the one to do it. So I absolutely love it. Thank you, Akvila, for sharing this. People should use it. As always, we will have the link in our newsletter, marketingclock.com/newsletter, as well as on Discord, which is at community.marketingclock.com. So pick your poison and check it out. Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week, an article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from BuzzSumo and Luis Linehan and Henley Wing Chow. And the name of the article is We Analyze Millions of Publisher Links. Here's how to syndicate your content and PR for free. And they go into the best press syndication post that I've ever seen. They talk about what press syndication is, how you can look at the top networks, what are the strongest connections. It's do paywalls impact me? They cover everything that you need to know. And they cover all of their top takeaways, saying publishers do syndicate each other's stories. 88% of the top 100 publications link out to other publications in the top 100 about how to get syndicated, and then different tactics for different sources. So if you are thinking about trying to get picked up in other locations, I highly recommend this. Thank you to Luis and Henley.
And now onto our playlist of curated songs to work to, which you can find over at playlist.marketingaclock.com. What's going on the playlist this week, Greg?
All right. Everybody here is going to call me basic with this one. But I need it. Every now and then you need it.
Okay.
Arcade Fire, Wake Up.
Oh, that's a good song.
Everyone loves Every Arcade Fire. Are you kidding?
It's a basic song, though.
Yeah, but a pumpkin spice latte is delicious at the end of the day.
All right.
I'm going with the opposite of basic, I think. Sparta, Taking Back Control.
Well, that's like a blast in 1994.
Is right? that how Florida? Old they are? I don't know. I saw them recently as an opener for another band, and I like forgot they existed. I love them. They're great. This song came out of my commute this morning. It's hot and fresh. It's an old song, I think. But yeah, cut yeah. your ribbon.
They were formed in 2001, so I was
so
way
was I. And I will be adding "True Love" by Christina and the Queens and 070 Shape. All right, that does it for today's show.
It is now officially not marketing o'clock.
Thanks for listening. We miss you already,
and we can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shooting the Heck, where after our famous Friday news shows, we don't talk about marketing anymore. We just
shoot the heck.
And this week we're playing Guilty Pleasures. These are some things in life that you like, and you could be embarrassed about them. You could be proud about them. It doesn't matter. This is here. This is the after show. You let it out. Jess, you want to start with a guilty pleasure you have in life?
I do. I effing love clearing the lint trap on a dryer.
What do you do with the lint trap, though?
What do you mean?
The lint. Where does it go?
Well, I put it in a trash can in my basement that is specific just to lint. And I recently got a hot tip from one Greg Finn that it's great for starting campfires. Mm-hmm. So any it's the only fire, thing yep. in the trap. Well, yeah, any kind of fire. Arson.
Yeah.
Maybe you had to Canada. Yeah.
Go up there.
Any kind of fire. But it's so satisfying to tear it out. And then, yeah, I just put it in a repository and I will roast marshmallows over it.
Yeah. It's just like to get started, but it's really, really yeah, nice.
It's really nice. It's a good feeling.
Okay, I'll go next. Something that I love every time I see them, barn quilts. I don't know if you know what they are, but what's they're those weird little paintings. They're usually like square on the front side of a barn. It's like a decorative little patchwork looking thing. You don't know, you've never seen barn quilts?
No. I probably have.
Maybe they're not even called barn
I've
quilts.
I've seen things on the side of barns like murals.
Yes.
Okay. Right,
so that's,
okay.
These are okay. called barn quilts.
Oh, I didn't yeah, know no. they were these called things. That.
When yeah. you see a barn and it's got that little design on there, I just get happy every time I see a barn quilt.
They are very quaint and nice.
Yeah. And then I learned that they're called barn quilts and I like them even more.
So when I'm walking and I notice that someone has edged their lawn at a perfect 90-degree angle where the grass and the sidewalk are like perfect. It's so satisfying.
It's really nice. It's
really nice. Mm-hmm. That is really nice. Just edging in general, I feel like. Good on you.
Cut all that.
Save it for the...
All right, Jess, back to you.
I enjoy peeling potatoes. It's pretty fun.
So I heard somebody say that you're supposed to just cut it to save time if you got to do a lot of them. You just like cut and you don't – like the peeling takes too much time.
With a knife. So I have a peeler that works pretty well, but then when there's like a divot or something and the peeler doesn't get it, I will hit it with a knife.
Okay.
I just enjoy the whole process.
Like, do you ever cut yourself with the peeler?
I cut myself all the time.
Well, we know that.
I mean, not in the emo sense. I'm just not good with a knife. No, a peeler though, I've had like this – back when I thought I was going to work in film, I was going to have a like horror movie about people that were like – using kitchen tools like cheese graters and but a peeler to just like get the skin off your face. So no, I'm very careful.
I bought
peeler.
A pet egg.
That's exactly. You could kill someone slowly with that.
I don't know. It doesn't say. I just grater use my calluses skin. So I don't rip my skin off.
You're using a pet egg on your hands?
I have the little pet egg and I just file down once a week on my hands.
That's very innovative. But don't you want to keep the calluses for
no,
your lifting?
No, because they get so big, they rip off and then it takes forever to like grow back. So if you like keep shaving them down, they don't rip off your hands. Gym talk with Greg here. I love seeing, and it's a super rarity these days, any of those bikes that you have with those spokes sticking out of the front where people are just riding along. You know what I mean? Those little
foot
steps.
Oh, like pegs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can like kind of sit on the front a little bit there, or mm-hmm. you can put it in the back and you can like go. I love seeing double riding bikes using the pegs only. I don't like the dual bikes.
Like where, a tandem
nah,
bike?
I don't like that. Okay. They need the pegs. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have those?
No.
I never had them.
No. I've never experienced them.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I like them so much. Yeah.
So my next guilty pleasure is cleaning the crumbs out of your keyboard.
Mm. Like,
how do you do it though?
Oh, well, with the laptop, I smack the back of it.
So you like you I hold up like a baby
lid.
And you're like
yeah. And then I see all the crumbs on the screen and I wipe it.
Ooh. Oh. I need to get you on my computers. Because I don't want to touch that. That's disgusting. But if it makes you happy, you can do mine.
All right. One last one, Jess.
I really like if you're going through like an unoccupied space and there's motion lights and you walk through and the lights turn on, you just feel like you have a superpower. Like forget automatic doors. Everybody's walking through those. But you don't even realize that somebody has like a garage light or something and you walk by their house. You're like, oh, hello. Like you just feel special for a second. I really like that.
Nice. I'm happy you're happy. All right. My last one. You all probably know this. I love watching cringe videos on Instagram. I love it. There's a guy, Big Jim. He's my favorite person in the world. He's 73. He just benches. He doesn't have teeth in the bottom of his mouth. He has a bowl cut. I love Big Jim so much. He's an inspiration. And then I found another even more cringier person that I don't share on our channel because he's too cringy. John Michael, the Beastmaster. I don't know if you've seen it. I just love finding, you know this. I love finding weird stuff and just like how other people are living their life that makes me feel like super regular. And I just love cringe.
I didn't realize that's why you liked it. I thought you were just legitimately enjoying these things and I was feeling bad when you show them to me IRL because I don't check my DMs lately. And I just like, I'm like, I don't like this. I don't understand. But if that's why,
you know,
then
it's like, hey, this is also just a human out there living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And putting it out there. Good for them.
Yeah. Beastmaster growls and he goes, rah! And he does these leg presses.
You should absolutely share that.
And he only wears Slayer cutoff t-shirts. And only listens to Slayer.
What does he wear on the bottom?
To be determined. All right, Nicole, what about you?
So I find it really satisfying when you're doing the dishes and you have the water on real hot and you can clean the dish without ever touching it.
That is really nice.
That is nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or touch the water. Just feel that.
Yeah. You just got to be quick. You got to be quick or it doesn't work. All right. And we'll see you next week.